But Ezra Hashem, we're beginning Seder Tayres, which contains within it 12 Masechtas and over 1,000 Mishnayas. It's an entire part of Torah, which is unfortunately learnt far less than other parts of Torah. One of the main reasons being that the vast majority of its laws don't really apply nowadays. However, when Moshiach comes and the Third Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, this is probably one of the most significant aspects of our lives, which will change. And in a similar way to how Seder Kodshim, which is all about the korbanos and the sacrifices which are offered up in the Beis HaMikdash, is a way of showing how much we yearn and await the arrival of Moshiach and the return of the Beis HaMikdash and all of the korbanos, learning this Seder also shows our anticipation and yearning for a more perfected world where all of the Torah's laws will once again apply. In the meantime, even if the laws don't actually practically apply, this Seder is a Seder which one is able to learn totally lishma, totally for its own sake, to an even greater degree than perhaps other areas of Torah. And in that merit, we pray that Hashem will indeed bring back these laws to once again be relevant, together with the Beis HaMikdash, b'mehirav yameinu amein. The word Tayres means purities, pure things, and the subject of this entire Seder are the laws of purity and impurity. Purity is Tara, and impurity is Tuma. And these are words which are going to come up in virtually every single Mishnah in the Seder. Tome means that it is impure, and Tohar means that it's pure. This is not something that we see, it's not necessarily a physical cleansiness, but rather a more spiritual one which brings with it certain legal ramifications. For example, somebody who is tome, impure, is not allowed to eat korbanos, sacrifices which are brought in the Beis HaMikdash, as well as other food items which contain a certain level of holiness to them. He's also forbidden to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. And the first perek of the first Masechta, Maseches Kelim, lists all of the different sources of tumah, impurity. For example, a dead body of a Jewish person, or certain substances which exit a person's body, as well as an animal which has died without receiving a proper shechita, valid slaughtering which permits it to be eaten. That animal would also be a source of impurity, and the way that a person, an object or a food item becomes impure is by having contact in some shape or form with one of these sources of impurity. The term to describe a source of impurity is an av hatumah. There are going to be lots of terms now, but as we go through the Masechta and the Seder, all of these terms will be repeated time and time again, as well as their details being refined further. Now, an av hatumah, a source of impurity, can give of its impurity over to somebody else or something else in one of three ways. If somebody or something or a food item touches the source of impurity, then that item will become impure itself. That's known as tumas maga, by touching. The second way of transferring tuma is by tumas masa, by carrying it. And included in this is also moving the source of impurity. And the third form is tumas oihel, which is by being under the same roof as the source of impurity. And the particular details of that third type are discussed in far greater detail in the second Masechta of the Seders, Maseches Aulas. And the first perek of Maseches Kelim, which we're about to learn, will show that not all sources of Tumah, not all types of Av HaTumah, which is a source of impurity, are on the same level. And there are certain sources of impurity that can only transfer that impurity, that Tumah, onto something else by Maga, by touching, but not by the other person carrying it without touching. Now, there's a fundamental difference between people and various objects, items, which are able to become impure, and, on the other hand, food items and drinks. Because a person and an object can only become impure if they have some sort of contact, not necessarily by touching, but also by carrying or being under the same roof, one of those three forms of transferring tumah, which we'll refer to as having a kind of contact with the tumah, even if that doesn't refer specifically to touching. If they have contact with an av hatumah, with a source of impurity, then they'll become impure. On the other hand, food items as well as drinks can become impure even by coming into contact with something else that became impure from a source of impurity. That's known as a vlad hatumah, which is a secondary level of impurity that doesn't come in from its own self, like a dead animal, which itself is a source of impurity. A vlad hatumah is something that had contact with a primary source of tumah, and therefore it itself became impure. And such an item is able to make food or drink impure if it comes into contact with that food and drink. And even within the category of food items, there are different groups. For example, the more holiness and sanctity that a food item has, such as karbonis, the meat of sacrifices, the more prone it is to become impure. For example, even if it touched something which touched something which touched something which touched a primary source of impurity, it would still become tamei. Up to a certain number, as we'll see later on. This is the brief outline of the basic laws of purity and impurity. And with that, we'll begin Maseches Kelim. Kelim means utensils, and there are a number of conditions for an object to be considered, halachically speaking, a kli, a utensil. Not any item is considered a kli. And as well as that, depending on which material the kli is made out of, there will be different laws with regards to its purity and impurity. For example, with regards to the majority of materials, it would only be considered a kli if it can hold something. It can contain things. For example, if you've got a flat piece of metal, that would not be considered a kli, a utensil that halachically speaking can become impure. Now, as mentioned, the first perek of the Masechta is really much more of an introduction to the entire Seder, going through the different levels of sources of Tumah and Avatumah. The next 9 perokim discuss the laws of Klei Cheres, earthenware utensils, whose laws differ in a number of ways to other materials. The 4 perokim after that talk about metal items. The 5 perokim after that talk about the laws of items which are made out of wood or similar such substances like bone, as well as leather. Then there's quite a significant part of the Masechta, 6 perokim, which talk about general laws which apply to all different kinds of kelim. The next 3 perokim talk about the laws of clothes, really, clothes items, and leather comes into that as well. The second last perek talks about also quite general ideas which apply to all different items, and in particular, the laws of extensions of different items, things which are attached to the main part of the item, the main part of the kli. And the final perek of the Masechta talks about the laws of glass. Glass is unique in that its ability to become tomei, impure, is only midrabanan, on a rabbinic level. But midoraisa, it's a material which is actually not able to become impure. Even if it has contact with a source of tumah, a source of impurity, it will not become impure, and it should be noted that stone items are the same. And even on a rabbinic level, stone items can never become impure.